gatto, pistoro matto.
Tomo lo rigato, kick to me radio, da 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 da.
Welcome, 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 geeks and nerds, boys and girls, to an all-new edition of Geek to Me Radio. We are broadcasting live from Denver Comic Con, and our first guests we're going to have Andrea Romano, George Rubin, and Susan Eisenberg is back with us. She's a glutton for punishment. After that, we'll talk to our friends from Omnimus Press and more, so stand by.
We're talking TV, comics and movies, and video games. Star Trek from Star Wars, we'll try to explain. There are 12 doctors, 4 Hogwarts houses, 1 ring rules and more. To be the greatest Pokemon master, you must catch them all. You must catch them all. Try to catch them all. Gotta catch them all. Gotta catch them all.
And as I mentioned, we are live from Denver Comic Con. It's ridiculously packed. They've actually sold out today. It's a sold-out show. So if you're already down here, great. If you haven't gotten your tickets, Sunday is still available. And you can come down and see all these amazing people that are down here. And I'm sitting with three of these amazing people right now. Susan Eisenberg has been on the show twice before, and she still comes back for more. And we've also got Andrea Romano and George Newbern. So it's Wonder Woman, Superman, and the brains behind the Justice League. Would you say that's accurate, Andrea?
I don't know if it's the brains behind, but they're my dear friends and wonderfully talented actors.
And you can come down and get your photo ops with these people. You can get signatures, anything you want signed. Come down and see them. We're down here in Denver today and tomorrow. So when it's a Justice League reunion like this, just watching the three of you interact right now, it's like you guys are just old friends. You go right into it. So it must have been a bond formed during the 4 or 3 year run of the show?
5 years.
Five years.
I think anytime you work on a show that becomes this iconic show, which it's become, it is bonding. I mean, we were all in it together. And when we're reunited like we are now, even though we haven't seen each other in a long time, it just, we fall back into it, you know? And it's just lovely. It really is. And tomorrow we'll have the big reunion.
Yes. Yeah, that's in the main hall, I think, around 12, I think?
1:30.
Okay.
I'm going to do a table read. We're going to do an actual read of a show.
Nice. Very cool. So who's going to fill in for Carl? Because I'm available. Okay, you got it. Andrea is the pro. We'll let her do it. So I know we were talking about you guys all had dinner together last night. George, who is the joker of the group?
No pun intended.
First of all, Susan was so drunk. It was embarrassing. And by the way, I think she's been drinking too much today. Anyway, who was the joker of the evening? I don't know.
Maybe you.
Maybe me. Maybe. I'd had maybe a tequila and a half, and maybe I was a little loud. But it was all good, clean fun. It was good, clean fun.
The biggest jokester of the group wasn't there, and that is Michael Rosenbaum.
Oh, Rosenbaum, yeah.
Because Rosenbaum came in late, and honestly, the minute he walks in the room, the yucks start to happen.
Whether you
want them to or not, the yucks begin.
He's now a stand-up. He's now a stand-up comedian. Now.
That's right, and Impastor, we've seen that, him
great
on that
show.
Too. It's fantastic.
Great show.
But
we loved every episode that he made. Really good show.
So when it comes to casting people, obviously your career is just outstanding. I can't believe all the talent you've worked with. But especially when you've got a group like this that comes together, how did you find the perfect mix? Because these are iconic 7 characters. What was your kind of goal in mind when you went in with the casting?
Well, it was daunting because everybody has an idea in their head as to what they hear these characters sound like when they speak. They've been reading the comic books for years. People have been, and they assume what the voice is in their heads. And what I wanted to do was create an ensemble that became a family. And that's exactly what happened. And it happened to us professionally, and it happened to us personally. We are like a family. A family who actually chooses to be together as opposed to one that's forced to be together. And when we do see each other after years of not seeing each other, we fall right back into the same wonderful patterns of respect and appreciation for what each other does. And everybody's able to go back into the voices and the characters so easily and well that it does encourage me that I did make the right choices some 12, 15, 20 years ago whenever we started. But the casting procedure was very hard because it was a lot of characters. Yeah. A lot of actors wanted to be a part of it. And in a way, it's easy because when you sell the show to agents saying, I'm auditioning for the character of Wonder Woman. She's this character. You don't have to tell them who it is. They know who Wonder Woman is. They know who Superman is. They know who Batman is. So you don't have to pitch them the show as in it's a brand new whatever it is. But so many actors want to be a part of it because their kids want them to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And so that's a real pleasure, too.
And I know Nathan Fillion's running around here. He was Vigilante, not as well known of a character. So was he one of the people who approached you and wanted to be in it? Did you think he's the right guy? Was it an audition process?
It was. We were familiar with his on-camera work. And often that happens where you see an actor who you watch his work and you go, I want to work with that actor. I'm going to look for a character that's right for them. And when we found Vigilante, we had him do it. And then in later years, he became Green Lantern for me on several different projects. Yeah.
And talking about the voices in your head, Susan and I have talked before. When I read Wonder Woman comics, it's always Susan's voice in my head. George, when you took on Superman, you had, I guess, not a harder job than Susan, because Susan had Linda Carter, and there was the woman of Shannon Farnsworth. Yeah, that's it, who did Wonder Woman in the animated series. You had so many Supermen to choose from. How did you find that voice?
Well, they actually had to pitch my voice down in the first season because I was just, I just had gone through puberty and I was working on trying to get my, it was a little intimidating, to be honest with you. I was like, I would do a take. I was like, is that okay? Is that, I looked at Bruce and Andrea in the booth and they were like going, yeah. And then they would talk. And then they were saying, pitch it down. No, but as I got older, it just sort of settled into my voice and became much easier to do. So initially it was daunting.
You get older and you also get more comfortable with the process. I mean, that really helps. The time helps. I mean, I always say that first year, you know, I was very green to being a series regular, but it worked because Diana was also leaving Themyscira. She was vulnerable. So that worked with the voice. But just as years went on, you know, you just do get more comfortable with the character and the ownership and just feeling like, okay, I've got this, as Diana would say.
And I've never pitched this question to Susan before, so I'm going to go around the table, if you don't mind. Excluding those of you who are here, who is your favorite person to work with during the show?
Go to Andrea. Let me think
about
it.
Wow. My favorite person to work with in the show, other than who's here.
Other than who's here, obviously.
Because Carl Lomeli isn't here, I have to speak about him. Because what a wonderful voice, what a wonderful actor, and what a human being. Beautiful, beautiful man. And we were very lucky to have him on the series. I'm sorry that he couldn't be here. He did make New York a couple of years ago when we had a previous reunion. Maybe if we do a San Francisco event, he would come to that because that's where he lives. But what a dream, dream, dream actor to have. That's my choice.
Susan?
You know, I mean, Carl, I think for all of us, Carl was so special. I mean, the relationship we had with all the characters. So with Jean and Wonder Woman, we had a very special bond. And then the actor, Carl Lumley, is such a lovely guy. So that was just, you know, special to work with him. And then I think for me it was Ed Asner, because I grew up on Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there I was doing scenes with Ed Asner and pinching, literally. There wasn't a time I drove into that Warner Brothers lot. There still isn't. Where I don't feel like I'm the luckiest person that I got this job in 2001.
Super cool.
You know?
I thought it was neat working with Mark Hamill.
I'm not sure who that is.
Yeah. I didn't know him at all, and we did a bunch of episodes. And what was so weird is his speaking voice was not at all like what I thought is, you know, from Star Wars or whatever. He just was much more cultured and New York-y kind of guy. I was like, whoa, what is this? This is really neat. So, Mark Hamill.
So I know there are no plans as of right now for a reunion. A lot of fans would love to see at least maybe a one-shot movie or anything we can kind of hope for.
If the fans can get out there and get the word out there, use your social media, fans, please tell Warner Brothers you want a reunion. All of us would be delighted to be a part of it. We would love to do it. If everybody's still available, we can still make it happen.
So Susan and George are both on board for that as well, yeah?
That would be a big yes.
As long as there are no green M&Ms in my trailer, I'm in.
All right, well, there you go. And like I said, we are down here at Denver Comic Con for the remainder of the day today. And then tomorrow you can come down and see Andrea, you can see George, you can see Susan. And obviously you can see Michael Rosenbaum if you want to, and Phil Lamar. Kevin Conroy's here, I think. But yeah,
and
come
Marie
down.
Canals.
Marie Canals Barrera is also here, Hawk Girl. So yeah, it's such an amazing thing to see you guys all together. And the big panel is tomorrow.
One third.
Any nerves on anyone's part?
you know what? No. You know what I feel? I'm excited. I'm excited. Andrea is going to be directing us in a table read from the original scripts, from the original show. I mean, that makes me so thrilled that we're going to get together and we're going to be on the stage together, and she's going to be directing us like she did on the show.
So it'd be kind of hard to have the nerves since you know you're in such familiar company, I guess.
Well, I always had nerves even though it was familiar company because it's an intimidating group. I mean, and mostly everyone had more experience than I think I did. And this woman worked with everybody, you know, this woman being Andrea Romano, I'm pointing to, you know, everyone under the sun. But it's like, it's excitement and just a lot of energy. And we're thrilled.
And probably there's more nerves because George is already on decaf, he said. He's not doing regular, so the nerves are okay.
I'm coming down off the decaf. Feel great. No nerves. Excited.
Andrea?
I'm so excited to do it. I'm not nervous at all because I have such confidence in these actors. And they're all enthusiastic about doing it, so it's just going to be nothing but fun. So anybody who is not here yet and is planning to be here tomorrow, 1:30, come watch us.
Tomorrow, I mean, if you just get the one-day pass, if you haven't come down, excuse me, the one-day pass, well worth it just to see this bunch together. So Andrea Romano, Susan Eisenberg, George Newman, thank you so much for being on here.
Thank you.
We're going to take our first break before I choke. And we will be back with more right after this, so stand by.
Great Hera, may the Force be with you. This is Susan Eisenberg, voiceover actress, and you are listening to Geek to Me Radio.
And we are back broadcasting live from Denver Comic Con. The crowd here is ridiculously packed in. It's a sold-out show today. That voice you just heard bringing us back, Susan Eisenberg, she was just on air with us, along with George Newbern, the voice of Superman, and Andrea Romano, the woman who cast them all and put them all together in that iconic Justice League series from, it's hard to believe it's been about 12 years ago now that was on. You can still catch it, I think, on Cartoon Network every so often. And there's a lot to be done. And there, I mean, there's panels. This is probably one of the better-run cons I've been at. And if you're listening to the show, you know I've been to, I think this is my seventh this year. All the volunteers are helpful. There's actually people walking around the aisles with signs that says info, so if you can't get to somebody, they can, chances are, come to you and answer your questions. And so far everyone's been very knowledgeable. Huge shout out to Jason and Margaret with the press public relations, who have been great to me and made sure I got everything I needed while I was here. If you're hashtagging this event, if you're here live by chance, or if you're hashtagging the event, the hashtags you're using are hashtag Denver Comic Con, also DCC 2017, and also con, the numeral 4, a cause. Those are the three hashtags being used to promote everything going on down here. I've got a bunch of pictures up of cosplay. If you're a cosplayer, this is the place to be right now. You can see some of the photos. I haven't posted much because I've been so busy running around. I feel like a chicken with my head cut off. But we've got a lot of great cosplay here. Again, I sound like I'm saying this just because I'm at this particular con, but this really has been some of the most impressive cosplay I've seen thus far. They've got some of the pictures up already on my Instagram page. If you're following me there, thank you. If not, head over and hit at Geek to Me Radio on Instagram. We talked with Michael Rosenbaum a little earlier today. He was at his booth signing autographs and everything like that, and as you heard George and Susan and Andrea say, he's the jokester of the group, probably typecasting while they cast him as Wally West, the Flash in the Justice League series as the jokester. He signed some stuff for me, and he remembered me because he and I follow each other on Twitter. So if you're on Twitter and want to follow either myself or Michael Rosenbaum, I obviously am at Geek to Me Radio on Twitter. He is at M Rosenbaum, R-O-S-E-N-B-A-U-M. And he's got a new podcast, which he's talking about an idea he pitched. It's Smallville-esque in scope, and he couldn't elaborate much more than that. But he said, go listen to the podcast. So check him out on Twitter. Follow his links to get to that podcast. And I was talking to a very nice lady in line. She said that he set the bar pretty high for Lex Luthor, because obviously, in addition to voiceover work, he played Lex Luthor in Smallville, which kind of kicked off the whole, I guess, DC TV. A lot of people don't give it the credit it's due for what it has done for bringing comic books into the mainstream medium of TV. Now we've got shows like Arrow, we've got The Flash, we've got Legends of Tomorrow, iZombie, we've got Lucifer on Fox along with Gotham, Preacher came back for season 2 on AMC, and you can kind of trace it all back to Smallville, but Michael Rosenbaum set the bar pretty high for Lex Luthor, and he said he'd love to do it again if they, I don't know how they do that since they've got Jesse Eisenberg now in the films, but I guess anything is possible with the magic of Hollywood. Once again, the people they've got lined up down here to see, Nathan Fillion, we mentioned him earlier. The big draw for me was the 7 members of the Justice League animated cast, 6, actually, because Carl Lumley, who voiced Martian Manhunter, wasn't able to make it. He's in the middle of filming a new project, but Andrea Romano, who is the brains of it all, stepped in. If you ever look up Andrea Romano on IMDb or just Google her, the talent that she has been associated with, we could probably have an hour-long show just with Andrea. She's a very great person, and she's cast Animaniacs, Tiny Toons, if you're a fan of that show, all of the DC animated stuff. She basically left her job at Hanna-Barbera back in 1989, and with a group of people, along with Bruce Timm, who, if you're a comic book fan or an animated film fan, you'll know that name, the two of them kind of wanted to do a WB animated wing, which the WB didn't have one back in 1989. And that's where we got Tiny Toons and Animaniacs. So she's worked with Maurice LaMarche, Rob Paulsen, Tress McNeil, just some of the greats. And Steven Spielberg, who wrote the Animaniacs, obviously, and the spinoff Pinky and the Brain. There's probably no one that Andrea Romano hasn't worked with. We mentioned Nathan Fillion was in the Justice League. Ron Perlman voiced Clayface. You know him from Hellboy, obviously. Ron Perlman voiced Clayface in the Batman animated series. Mark Hamill is the Joker, for crying out loud. She mentioned Ed Asner was in the Batman animated series as well, but just a terrific group of people. And we could probably do a month-long Andrea Romano month and just have her talking about her ridiculously awesome career. And what's great about all these people, George and Susan and Andrea, you got to hear it from them, but the rest are no exception. They're very aware how fortunate they are. They're very down to earth and humble. And what a fantastic group to talk to. Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, we've had him on the show before. He is also down here. We've also got Phil LaMarr, Samurai Jack, but he's also voiced Green Lantern in the Justice League. He's here. And Maria Canales Barrera, voiced Hawk Girl, and she was on Wizards of Waverly Place. I'm sure you know her if you see her. She was an absolute delight. Signed my Hawk Girl figure. I was elated. And she's also ridiculously nice. Everyone's fantastic. And if you get the chance to come down here, we got Weird Al Yankovic, for crying out loud. We've got, my mind's blanking. If you're a Buffy fan, we have James Marsters, who's also been on the show before. James Marsters. We've got Mercedes McNabb, who played Harmony on Buffy and then on Angel. Juliet Landau, who voiced Drusilla, played Drusilla on both Angel and Buffy. She's down here. And Claire Kramer, who's also been on the show before. She played Glory in season 5 of Buffy. She's down here as well. Mike Coulter, Luke Cage from Netflix, Luke Cage, and also Finn Jones, who plays Danny Rand Iron Fist in Netflix, Iron Fist from Marvel. They'll be gearing up to do Defenders that comes out on August 18th. So there's a lot to see and do down here. If you're not into the celebrities, they've got a showroom packed with comic book talent. They've got creators like two we're going to hear from a little bit later on the show, Ron Mars, who you might remember from his run on Green Lantern, introduced us all to Kyle Rayner back in the 90s, and also Bart Sears, who Captain Adam, his Captain Adam for me, when you see an art piece done, he's the definitive Captain Adam artist. He also drew Justice League Europe, which was a fantastically fun book in the late 80s, early 90s. They are now with Ominous Press, and we had an interview with them that we'll play later on in this hour. And Jose Delbo, who drew Transformers, World's Finest, he's here. They've got Silver Age, Bronze Age. They've actually got a guy who worked on Captain America with Stan Lee back in the 40s. He's here. He's signing prints. So this is a con that has not in any way, shape, or form neglected the comic book fans, which is fantastic to see. And the vendors are ridiculous. If you want a Funko Pop and it's not here, they don't make it. They've got T-shirts. They've got toys, collectibles, comics, obviously. Mile High Comics, if you follow me on Periscope, we had a tour of Mile High Comics when we first got here into town on Thursday. And that place is where I want my ashes scattered when I die. If you ever make it to Denver, go see Mile High Comics. It's ridiculously fun. And if they don't have a comic book you're looking for, again, it probably hasn't been made. I was looking for a comic book now, Teen Titans, number 25. For some reason, I can't find it. I don't think it's not a print book. It's not anything rare or special, a first appearance. Couldn't find it anywhere. I've been to, as you know, five or six different cons. Couldn't find it. Mile High is like, oh, yeah, we got that. Pull it right out of the bin. They found it for me. So shout out to all the folks at Mile High Comics as well. Denver's been great so far, and we've got more for you coming up on the show. We are going to take our next break. So stand by for more. We're going to be talking to Greg Grunberg next. We'll be back with that and more, so stand by.
And he's swinging all over town. La la la, lady down. La la, lady la. Sling us a web, you're the Spider-Man. Sling us a web tonight. Cause we're all in the mood for a hero now. And there's evil doers to fight.
Hey, this is Greg Grunberg, Snap Wexley from Star Wars, and it's all geek to me, my friends.
And we are back. Geek to Me Radio broadcasting live from Denver Comic Con. That noise you hear in the background, the ladies announcing the photo ops. They've had lines all day, and again, the professionality of the photo ops rivals Planet Comic Con in Kansas City that I hit up back in April. They were outstanding with theirs, and Denver Comic Con on par with that. Very professional, very organized. And if you want to come down here and get your photo ops taken, you can get your photo ops with people like Greg Grunberg. And we had a chance to talk with Greg a little bit about his upcoming projects. For those of you who remember, or maybe don't remember, we talked to him about a year ago back in Oklahoma City at the con there over Labor Day weekend, and there was an earthquake. So we were literally next door neighbors. I didn't know until we both popped out of our room. So he was very gracious, gave me a big hug when he saw me. He recognized me immediately without having to say anything. That interview that I had with him at Oklahoma City is up on YouTube. If you go to geektomeradio.com, hit the YouTube tab, and you can see all the videos. Just look for the one that says Greg Grunberg. And here is what Greg Grunberg had to say when we visited him at Denver Comic Con. And we're here live with my earthquake buddy, Greg Grunberg. How you doing?
Good, man. I'm a little shaky seeing you again.
I know. I figured that might put a little... last time we saw each other, the earth literally moved.
The earth moved. It was 3 in the morning. What time was it?
It was like 7 in the morning. It was early because it woke me up.
7 in the morning. We're in a hotel with no... It seemed like no structure. Huge. The whole building was an atrium, remember?
Yeah.
And we're in Oklahoma. And all of a sudden, it's shaking. And it turns out it's the biggest earthquake Oklahoma's ever had. And we're both essentially in our underwear, standing there going, what do we do? Do we go downstairs? Do we hug each other? Like, what's happening? That was really scary, dude.
Contact our lawyers, make sure everything's signed and dotted for our next of kin, something. Yeah.
Exactly. But it's one of those moments that you never forget. I have friends. My wife and I were living in an apartment in Sherman Oaks in L.A. when the big earthquake happened, Northridge earthquake happened.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, there are friends that we had that lived in the same building. We didn't know them. And the second something like that happens, it just brings you together. It bonds you. The second I saw you, I was like, oh, my God, I'll never forget you.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those ingrained in your brain now.
Exactly. Yeah, and people come up and they're like, oh, you're the guy from Star Wars. You're the guy from Heroes. And then you walk up and you're like, you're that guy in his underwear when the building was shaking.
From the earthquake.
Exactly.
So last time we talked about Dream Jumper.
Yes.
And I know it's been going really well. And it's any more talk of the movie coming about? I know you guys were talking about getting a...
Yeah, there's a writer attached. Paramount's doing it. And so we'll see. It's in development, so you know what that means. You never know. But they're very excited about it. And book 2 is coming out in September. So I'll be down at San Diego Comic-Con with Lucas. We're doing... Scholastic has their big party, and we're doing a panel. And then we're... I'm doing a big book signing for this huge bookstore in San Diego. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. And I know another project you've got coming up is Happy Valley. Is that your first biopic?
I did a thing years ago called Bond of Silence, which was about, it was a biopic about, it took place in Canada, about a kid a group of kids that actually killed a dad, and then they took a bond of silence, like, no one talk about this, and no one turned each other in. It was really terrible. We filmed it in the same area where it took place. So I, in my days off, I go into the town and stuff, and people knew we were shooting there. And it's a weird thing playing these characters. Now, this is the Joe Paterno story. It is huge. Jerry Sandusky, that whole disaster at Penn State. And it's interesting how, you know, having read the script, it's very interesting. I think people are going to have strong opinions about how the movie is played. And I reached out to Scott Paterno. I'm playing Scott Paterno. I get to work with Al Pacino. And I shouldn't say this, but I reached out to him, and I just told him I have just such respect for his father and as a coach and what he built at Penn State. And that was it. So I'm about to go to New York and shoot this. And I've, you know, playing somebody that I actually know. I mean, I don't know Scott Paterno, but I know him from watching him on the news,
yeah,
and watching his family go through this. So it's going to be very interesting.
So doing a picture like that as opposed to playing a fictional character, is it easier to do because you've got someone there to work off of, or is that harder in some sense?
Well, the other film that I did, I played, it was a mixture of three, four detectives. I played a detective, and so it was kind of just the outcome that was written. This is a specific character. I'm growing this goatee for it. I'm not watching what I eat. No offense, Scott. Scott's a great guy, but we're both big guys. So I'm just trying to get as close to, and I want him to be proud. I want him to, you know, and everybody that watches. I mean, Al Pacino. I'm more than anything else, I just cannot believe I'm getting an opportunity to work with him.
And I hear he's horrible to work with. Absolutely the worst.
He's the, I mean, from what I understand, obviously one of, if not the best actor ever, and just an incredible person and just a pro's pro. So it's going to be a really great experience.
And I know we've seen you turn up in so much stuff lately. I loved your episode on The Flash recently.
Yes.
So how was that working on that show?
Well, first of all, we watched the show. My son Jake's here with me, and we love the show. So to have a role on that was great. And that came about because Kevin Smith was directing the episode. So I got to work with my friend, and then I made all these new friends up there. They're great. They're really great.
Cool. And when we keep speaking of Kevin Smith, are we going to see another season of Geeking Out coming up?
We're working on that. I just shot a game show pilot, and I brought the other Smith, Tiffany Smith, with me as a co-host. But that's a pilot, so who knows? It's called Celebrity Face Off. So we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, Kevin and I have a few other things that we're working on together, and one of them is season two, which we're hoping happens, and then other projects. We become really close. He's such a great guy,
man.
Oh, he's the best. And by the way, does the foreword. He wrote the foreword in book two.
JJ
did the foreword in book one, so yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, Greg Grunberg, if you're listening right now live, he's down here at Denver Comic Con. Come down and say hello. He'd be glad to see you.
Please come by. Give me a hug. It's free. Free hugs.
Free hugs. You can't get better than that.
Exactly.
Greg Grunberg, thanks so much.
Dude, so good to see you.
You too.
All right, man.
There he is, Greg Grunberg. Always a pleasure. Such a down-to-earth guy. And he always makes time for people like me who are fans. And he makes time for you, too. If you want to come out and see him, he's here today and tomorrow, Denver Comic Con, from where we are broadcasting live. We are going to take our next break. We'll be back talking with Bart Sears and Ron Mars from DC Comics, but also now from Ominous Press. We'll be back with that and more, so stand by.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
And we are back live from Denver Comic Con. I'm actually standing in a line right now waiting to get a photo picture taken with Mike Coulter and Finn Jones, Luke Cage, and Danny Rand Iron Fist from Marvel's Netflix series of those same names. It's, like I said, a sold-out show today, and it's really, really cool to be here. Just the vibe you're getting. You've already heard us speak earlier with Andre Romano, Susan Eisenberg, and George Newbern from the Justice League reunion that's going on here. We just talked to Greg Grunberg in our last segment, and it's just been a great con. Everyone is having a blast. I've not seen anybody so far that seems to be upset, having any trouble. The volunteer staff has all been great. And another shout out to Jason and Margaret with the PR people who are handling all this. They've made it so incredibly easy, and I would be remiss if I didn't thank Joey V back at the studio, who's organizing everything, and he's the Andrea Romano of this show, ladies and gentlemen. He's the brains behind all of it. So, Joey, thank you.
We need that Geek to Me animated series coming up of our hijinks and the people's lives we are changing and all that.
I pitched it to Warner Brothers, but they're not responding to me, so we'll see how that goes.
Fans, you need to write letters to get us back on the air, even though we were never on the air. We need to be on the air on WB or wherever.
We should be. Yeah. We should be. Something like that, yeah. But I appreciate all your listening. Once again, if you are listening right now, you can follow it at Denver Comic Con, and they're using the hashtags at Denver Comic Con. Also, that's not hashtag. Hashtag Denver Comic Con. Hashtag DCC 2017 and hashtag con the numeral 4 a cause. It's been a spectacular day here. Yesterday was great. Not as crowded, obviously, since today's sold out. If you follow me on Periscope, you saw some of the images of the people coming in the building, and it was mobbed. It's a madhouse getting in here. But once you're inside, it's fantastic. All these people to see. I'm looking right now. There's three of the kids from Stranger Things, Gaten Matarazzo, Caleb McLaughlin, and Bob Mills and Bobby Brown. They're all here from Stranger Things. So if you're a fan of that show, and who isn't, season 2 is coming out in October. So if you're in the Denver area, hustle down. You get your pictures taken with the three of them. Wallace Shawn is here from Princess Bride. Inconceivable! That guy's here. It's a fantastic event they're putting on. And there's all sorts of panels happening. There are the photo ops you can get online. John Heder from Napoleon Dynamite, he's here. I'm looking at the list right now. Michael Chiklis from just recently Gotham, but also from The Commish and The Shield. Michael Chiklis is here. American Horror Story, Freak Show, he's here. Lou Ferrigno's here. Wouldn't be a con if you didn't see Lou Ferrigno. Kari Payton from The Walking Dead. And so many more that you can see. If you come down to Denver Comic Con, they're here all day today and all day tomorrow. You can check it out on their website. Just Google Denver Comic Con. The website will come right up for you. And you can get more information there. Again, I will be posting more stuff. So if you're on Twitter, at GeekToMeRadio is my Twitter handle. Same on Instagram, at GeekToMeRadio. I've already posted pictures, some of the cosplay. I'll be getting more cosplay pictures up because I'm a cosplay fan. And they've done some fantastic cosplay down here. I'm actually looking at some of them from the Aqua Teen Hunger Force right now. They've got three people walking by in costume. They're too far off for me to... They can't hear me, obviously, but just it's amazing. All the cosplay, all the people who are here. I wish you could see what I'm seeing. And you can if you want to go on Instagram and Twitter and see all the stuff I've got up there right now. As I said, I'm nearing the end of the line here for the photo op. I'm probably going to have to let you all go here in a moment. We'll probably throw it to break, and I will let Joey introduce the next segment, Ron Mars and Bart Sears, who are comic creators, and they're working with Ominous Press right now. And you can catch that interview. It'll be live on the radio station. If you want to do that, we'll have that up next. So you can check that out. I'm about to get my backpack taken away here. We're going to go into the video room. So I'm going to go ahead and go to the next break. When we come back, Joey will kind of reintroduce you, Ron Mars and Bart Sears from Ominous Press. And hopefully by the time the interview's over and this break's over, I'll be back on air to wrap things up with you then. Joey, you're okay with that, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. That's why Joey's the best. We're going to take our last break of the hour, and we'll be coming back right after this with Ron Mars and Bart Sears. Stand by.
Hey, this is Phil Lamar.
Who means Conrad?
To the samurai known as Jack. And you're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
So we are talking with comic creators Bart Sears and Ron Mars here at the Ominous Press booth. Guys, thanks for showing up to the Denver Comic Con.
Sure, thanks for having us.
Yeah, pleasure to be here.
And you've got your new books out here. I saw the art and I... You know, the sales pitch Bart gave me, I had to get all four of them while I was here. But these are only available at the con, and you can get them online, you said, from Ominous Press.
That's right. They're available through OminousPress.com.
And you said this had some kind of a mix. It was a little bit of old stories from characters you'd created and owned, but also you kind of weaved in some new tales. How is that creatively? Is that kind of filling in the gaps a little bit hard to do? Is it fun to kind of revisit it?
That was kind of fun. I never actually envisioned bringing it back. But when we started Ominous Press up again, it just seemed like the natural thing to do. And the it's four-issue miniseries called Legendary, and it reprints the original Ominous Press tales from the early 90s. But not just that. We filled in some pieces with new art, a new story. And what we also did is Ron wrote a framing sequence that weaves in and around the old stories and kind of gives them a little more context. And Tom Rady did some beautiful art for it. And it culminates in the fourth issue, which is all completely brand new art and story that finishes off that original tale we started back in the 90s.
So how was that for you, again, kind of filling in the gaps, as it were?
It was actually a lot of fun, because we had talked about, you know, okay, let's reprint these old stories, put a cap on them, put an end on the stories so that we could sort of call it finished business and then move on to the new stuff. I didn't actually write for Ominous back in the 90s. I was about to start writing for Ominous, and then the bottom of the market fell out and took a lot of the small publishers with it. So I kind of felt like my role here was partially to be sort of the first reader and see what worked and what didn't in terms of looking at the old stuff. And I kicked out the idea of doing a framing sequence that would give some context to what the old stuff was like, so that new readers could maybe plug into it a little bit more easily, and so that once we're through the older stuff, the framing sequence material that we did and that Bard also chipped in on with new pages would lead readers to the next batch of stuff that we're doing.
And with the everything old being new again, obviously there's the nostalgic aspect as well, but plus a lot of the small presses are coming back with a vengeance. Do you find that's kind of like the perfect timing, the perfect storm with this?
Well, it's, the market has expanded, obviously, in the 20 years since Ominous got swallowed up, along with a lot of other going concerns at the time. The market's expanded. There are more better books than ever before. There are more different kinds of books than ever before. The market's sort of grown up, and I think doing this kind of material, which is a mix of science fiction and fantasy and heroic adventure, I think the market's more open to this kind of material than it was 20 years ago or even 10 years ago.
And so you find that there's a greater acceptance for it because, in my opinion, Marvel's kind of seems to be losing their way as far as the comic books go. DC's been great with Rebirth, but I know a lot of people are turning to the smaller press.
Yeah, that's what we're noticing and hoping for. We have three new books coming out in partnership with IDW, starting in 2 weeks with the release of Dread Gods number 1, which Ron is writing with art by Tom Rainey, which is gorgeous. And after that, we have Giant Killers and Demigod coming out. So we're really hoping for, you know, a big push this summer.
Hopefully so. Yeah, anything I can do to help, obviously, would be great. I'll get out and get them. And if you're listening right now, get out and get them, IDW and Ominous Press. I got to talk to you, too, because I grew up with your guys' stuff from Green Lantern, Kyle Rayner coming on board and everything like that. How was do you keep up with a character after you finish your run on a book?
Not usually. You do your piece and you put it away and you move on to something else. Not through any real, rejection of what comes after you, but just, you know, you have the sad truth is, if you create comics every day, if you're a professional creator, you don't have a whole lot of time to read them. You know, you find yourself, the stack of stuff that's in my office waiting to be read, sitting on the coffee table, hopefully it doesn't fall over. It'll kill me at some point because you just don't have enough time to keep up with the books that you want to. So, I do still check in with Kyle on occasion, but there's very little stuff that I read monthly just because I don't have the time and I don't get to the store as often as I'd like. So I'm, I've turned into a trade waiter. I've turned into the guy that, that we tell people, please make sure you buy the monthlies to keep the books going. Because you just don't have the time.
You get a free pass, though, as a comic creator. I would think that you're okay with that.
Yeah, I try to, I try to claim ignorance once in a while, and I just haven't gotten to the stuff. But you know, in fact, just the other day, I mean, it's really got to be something that I'm excited about to get me to leave the house, you know, put aside the work for the day and go to the store on release day. And I think yesterday or 2 days ago, the Elmer Fudd Batman book that Lee Weeks drew, like, all right, I got to go get that. I never thought I'd say I have to go to the comic store and get an Elmer Fudd comic, but, you know, that's the way it worked out.
And with Bart, same question. I know, like, you and I talked before we started recording, love the Justice League Europe series. Do you go back and revisit any of the characters that you've worked on in the past? Are there any that are especially with a group book like that, and I had you sign an Invasion poster, you do kind of group books too. Are there any one character that you like, I'm going to follow this guy regardless?
No, not really. I mean, there's characters I like for their character and for drawing them, like Captain Atom, particularly from Justice League. But like Ron says, I mean, I'm up in the morning at the desk, and I generally turn my light out and then go back to bed. So the times I get to even glance through comics is rare. And usually it's when somebody I know says, oh, you got to look at this, you got to read this. You know, generally there's just no time to sit down and spend an hour digging through a couple of comics. So, sadly, I've fallen off the face of the earth as far as following comics and what's going on, which I don't like, but I can't find a way around it yet.
No, time's the one commodity it seems like we'll have a limited amount of. But if you're down here at all, we are broadcasting live from Denver Comic Con. Come down, and if you're looking for Bart Sears or Ron Mars, they're at the Ominous Press booth. So come by, say hi, pick up this collection of books, stunning art. I can't wait to read them myself. Guys, thanks for jumping on here with us.
Thank you very much, man. It's awesome.
Thanks. We really appreciate you coming by.
Take care. Thanks.
It's not in the way you watch I sound.